I went out the side door, did a roly-poly, and I remember being like, oh my goodness, I've done it, I've fallen off. Hello everybody and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. Before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also sell all over the world. So if you're looking to pick something up, then be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. Also, in today's podcast, I'm going to be mentioning Charles Owen a lot, which are one of my sponsors. So if you're in the market for a new helmet, be sure to check them out too. But anyway, today's podcast is actually going to be a two-part series, or two-part kind of like episode. Today is part one, because I'm going to be talking about some of my worst slash most interesting falls. Now, I feel like if you've been watching my channel for a while, you'll know that I did a whole episode all about confidence. Now, today's video is going to be a little bit similar to that, but I have some more interesting stories that I haven't talked about yet. And also just talking about falling off in general, because I was thinking about this the other day. Nobody really teaches you how to fall off. And I don't know, maybe that's just me. I just have never had an instructor that's been like, this is how you do it. And I feel like when you do fall off, it's something that happens so quickly, yet so like in slow motion at the same time. It's really difficult to describe unless it's happened to you before. But starting off, I thought we would talk about when I first started riding. I started riding when I was at the age of 5, so a very young age. And I feel like when you're younger or a child, you don't really realise the dangers of the world. And even when you do, you kind of think you're in your own little world. You're like the main character, which sounds really cliche, but you kind of think bad things in the world won't happen to you. So when I first started riding, I was like, yeah, I just won't fall off. And to be fair, when I'd been riding for quite a long time, it wasn't until I actually got my first loan pony where I fell off for the first time. So all those years in the riding school, I was on perfect, sort of really good riding school ponies. I was very lucky to go to an excellent riding school, and I have lots of friends or friends of friends which are like, oh, my younger sister wants to start riding, where do you recommend? And I always recommend the local place where I actually learnt to ride myself. They're a British Horse Society registered riding school, so if you're ever looking for a place, they're pretty good if it's a proper registered one. Anyway, enough of that. So yeah, I was very lucky to ride some really good ponies growing up. And then it was my first loan pony. And I always feel like going from a riding school pony to a loan pony is a little bit of a step up. And for ages, like, I kind of like got this thing in my head where I was like, I kind of want to fall off, which I feel like not many normal people wants to fall off a horse. But because a lot of my friends have been riding a lot longer than me, even though I started at the age of 5, they all came from like horsey backgrounds. So they were the sort of people that had started riding like as soon as they were out of the womb, like first day, first breath, they like were plonked on a horse kind of thing. So it's not that I've really felt behind, but I kind of felt like I was missing out because I hadn't fallen off before and all of my friends had, and it was something they'd like, I don't know, talk about at lunchtime, that kind of thing. I went to a very rural, well, as you kind of know from the podcast, Esme's Country Life, grew up in the countryside, so a lot of my friends were actually horsey in this like small little village primary school. So anyway, all of my friends were like, oh, you're not a proper rider. You have to fall off like 7 times to be a proper rider. And I don't even know where that came from. Like, who made that up? I always say, like, I always like to think of, like, you're a proper rider if you do riding. You're just learning, and everyone learns at different stages and are at different levels. But anyway, I finally fell off for the first time. It was on my lone pony, Bradley. And it was the weirdest thing because it was actually, like, I was being lunged. So my friend's mum, who was the owner of this horse, was standing, you know, in the middle of a circle. This was before we had an arena or anything like that. Bradley was kept, like, in our field with the donkeys. And anyway, she was standing in the middle on a big, long piece of string, lunging him. So he was going around in a circle. I was on top, and there was a little jump. Now, for some reason, I decided to do a way too tight turn to this jump. And I can't remember if he, like, scooted over it, because it was such a long time ago. I was probably about 7, 8 at the time, maybe. Yeah, probably 8. So I'd been riding for about 3 years. And he kind of scooted or like stopped. I can't remember what he did. But anyway, I went out the side door, did a roly-poly, and I remember being like, oh my goodness, I've done it, I've fallen off, which again, I feel like is not a normal reaction to falling off for the first time. And I think also one of the reasons why I was so confident, especially like when I first started riding, is because it's always been something that I was hungry for, in the sense where I knew that it was something that it felt like I kind of had to work to be able, or like to, I don't know, it's really difficult to describe, but when you come from a non-equestrian family, I feel like there are so many equestrian families where like that loads of kids are like forced into riding, or it's like their parents' dream, and they're like, here's like a pony, like as soon as you're born kind of thing. When for me, I've kind of felt like I kind of had to prove myself all the time within my equestrian journey to kind of almost feel like a proper equestrian, if that was falling off for the first time or getting my first loan pony or jumping for the first time and things like that. Or even just like, I remember all of my friends talking about, oh yeah, we're like going to pony club, and like I loaded my horse up, and they were like, oh, have you ever loaded a horse before? And me being like, no, like I just ride at the riding school, or just ride on like my loan pony kind of thing. So even little things like that, like I was just so excited to load a horse for the first time, or lunge a horse for the first time, or things that I just hadn't done before. So for me, because I knew that it, like, again, age of five is a very young age to start riding, but I had to ask my parents for like a few years. I think I probably started asking them as soon as I could talk. So I don't know, probably like as a toddler, age two. So when you're a child, that feels like a very long time, like, because when you're two, if you've been asking for like 3 years, that's like more than how old you are kind of thing back then. But anyway, because I kind of felt like I had to ask for so long for lessons, and my mum was also a very kind of nervous mum when it came to watching me ride and things like that, so I kind of just felt like I had to be confident, because if there were any moments at all where it looked like I didn't enjoy riding, or I was scared or anything like that, my parents were like, oh, we'll just stop giving you lessons. So I had this sort of hunger to carry on and get going. So anyway, that was my first ever fall. I had a few other falls, that kind of thing. I think I've said before that at my first ever pony club camp with Mickey, who was my first pony, or still is, still got him, I actually was talking to all my friends, and I was like, oh yeah, I've fallen off 30 times. And they did not believe me, because I'd fallen off so many times. By the end of camp, they definitely did believe me, because I think I probably fell off every single day. Something went wrong, something happened, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, one of my most, like, for a while, like, I remember doing Q&As on YouTube, and people being like, what was your worst ever fall? And I would always say this one, because that was before I had a huge confidence knock, which I'll get into a little bit later in this podcast. But yeah, I was riding Mickey, going around the sort of, it was at a pony club, so it was just in like a little grassy field. I think that was like a rabbit hole, or like a little pothole, or Mickey was quite like a accident prone pony anyway. Like every now and again he'd trip. I think he had to have special shoes. When we first got him, our farrier was like, does he trip often? Because he has special shoes to like help him not trip, I'm pretty sure. He was only shod at the front, but he's barefoot now. But anyway, yeah, he tripped in a rabbit hole. I think it was like really embarrassing. It was probably only in like walk or trot, so it was really slow as well. It was like all like slow motion. I don't even know what happened, but anyway, he tripped. I did a roly-poly off his neck, and he kind of landed on me. And again, being a very confident young child, I got straight back up on him. And my instructor was like, whoa, Esme, calm down. Like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, like she couldn't even stop me like getting back on him. And little did I know, because I had like a little polo top on at the time, I had a like gash down my arm where I think one of the nails in Mickey's shoe had like cut my arm. So I was just bleeding out. And my instructor obviously saw this blood and was like, oh dear, I'm gonna have to sign some sort of accident form today. Because actually, one of my pony club instructors, this was with Casper actually, every single time, this probably sounds really, really bad, but she was absolutely lovely, and it was all in like a jokey way. But she would always say to me, like, Esme, you better like buy me a Mars bar, or buy me like a chocolate bar if you fall off again. Because every single time you fall off, I have to sign it in like some sort of accident book, or fill out all this paperwork. So yeah, or she would make you do like press ups, which normally if you said a pony club instructor makes you do press ups, you'd think, oh my goodness, this person is like military operation. But this was one of my favourite instructors, and it was always in like a jokey, funny, silly way. And to be fair, I don't think she really even made me do the press-ups. I feel like it was more the boys. If they were like messing around, she'd make them do press-ups. But anyway, I got back up, well, after sort of wrapping myself up in bandages or whatever. I can't even remember. Maybe I think I had to go to like some sort of first aid person and they put a plaster on it. I was like, all right, let's get back on, let's keep going, kind of thing. But yeah, I feel like with Mickey, obviously I had quite a lot of falls. I remember one of the falls, which I was kind of probably most embarrassed about, was I think it was our last ever camp together. It was at the kind of stage where I was getting a little bit big for him. And I feel like when you're starting to outgrow a pony, it's more difficult to stay on when something goes wrong, because when you're small, you can kind of like wrap your arms or your legs around them. But with Mickey, there was less neck or less mane for me to hold on to because I was bigger, if that makes sense. And he stopped at a jump, and this was back in, I want to say it was 2012, 2013. So this is way back. This was back when onesies were in fashion. And I remember this because it was kind of like the on the last day, you would like do something to show, like all your grandparents would come, and it would kind of be to show what you'd learned at camp that year. So we did like a clear round jumping session with another, so it wasn't just my group, it was with another group as well that was kind of at the same level. And anyway, I was wearing a onesie at the time because everyone was like, you would dress up on the last day. So everyone was wearing onesies. And let me tell you, they are not very practical to ride in. They are the slippiest thing ever. So didn't have, you know, this, I think this is probably like, this is showing how sort of old, well, I'm not even that old, I'm 22, but how old I kind of feel, because nowadays everyone wears like breeches or leggings with like a sticky bum. This was back when everyone just wore like jodhpurs, and I know people still wear jodhpurs, but like, you know, like the proper showing jodhpurs that are like a creamy yellowy kind of color. But anyway, I was wearing them, well, I wasn't wearing them, I was wearing my onesie with a hot pink heart hat silk, so you know, fashion icon. Anyway, and Mickey stopped at a jump, and actually mine's like, a lot of the time when something goes wrong, it's either down to you or down to like your horse being uncomfortable or something like that. And I was talking to my my like personal instructor, not like a pony club one, so personal makes it sound like I'm the only person that she teach. To be fair, I think I actually was the only person that she taught, because she was like retired, but she just lived down the road from my place, and she was really lovely. But anyway, she was talking about it, and we think that Mickey really struggled with the hard ground at camp that year, because I remember there being like a drought and things like that. And she said one of the reasons why he might have refused was because when he was jumping on the hard ground, he would get kind of like a shock going up his legs when he would land. So anyway, I felt really bad afterwards because I fell off like in front of my grandparents and everyone as well, and like obviously the other group, and there was a lot of people kind of watching, so that wasn't great. So anyway, that was one of the probably my more embarrassing falls slash one that I was kind of like a little bit upset about. I've had lots of different interesting falls with Casper as well. Casper's probably the horse I've fallen off the most. Even today, like, I can't remember my last ever fall on Joey. Like, I don't think it was my big one. I think it was probably just once I was in the school and he spooked to something and I just landed on my feet. It was probably not very dramatic because I can't really remember it, but the horse I've probably fallen off the most in the last year or 2 years is Casper, because he is a very sensitive soul. I would say Casper's like a beginner's horse until he's not. Like, he is perfect, hoof perfect, like great to load, great to like look after, like groom, all that kind of stuff. Like, he is an absolute angel until just like something switches in his brain. And I don't know what happens. Like, I don't know if he has trauma from the past or if he's just a very flighty, spooky horse. Because some things he's so confident and chill with. Like, I mean, I've been filming YouTube videos with him for ages, and like, he's fine with the drone and all the funny cameras and weird equipment that we use. And I've done lots of, like, I've literally done like all the disciplines with him, if that's obviously like not at a high level, but you know, he's done cross-country jumps, gone through water. I tried mounted games on him once at camp. That was funny. Like that kind of thing. Like, he's jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. Like, he's one of those kind of horses. But I don't know, I think he's just quite nervous. Like, a lot of the time, if I have fallen off him recently, it's actually been while hacking. Like, there's been like a tree that's rustled and he's just leaps up in the air and spins. I think that's the best way I can describe it. He literally does like a 180. He's like, I gotta go. And he actually did it with me the other day. Like, I did sit it, but oh my goodness, I was like, Casper, this is not good. So that is, I think I did like a little helmet cam video on my channel the other day, and I was like, I think I actually said in the video, I was like, this is why I would never sell you to a child. Because I know that, I just feel like that's one of the other reasons why, like, I just could never, like, all of my horses are a little bit on the quirky side, and I feel like Casper's one of those horses where he would just get passed around and passed around and passed around if he was ever sold. And he has been with us for almost, I want to say 10 years. Yeah, it'll be 10 years. Will it be 10 years or will it be 11 years? Yeah, it will be 10 years in January because we got him in 2014. So that is pretty wild. And I feel like he's just so happy and settled where we are. But yeah, I feel like actually a few times has been on when we've been like taking content for like shoots and things for like brands and stuff. And it's where we've kind of like done the same thing like a few times. And then he's like, okay, I'm a little bit bored now. I want to go zoomies and gallop. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I have no brakes. This is interesting, Casper. Okay, that's fine. We'll stop taking photos now. Like, in order, literally, we'd only been taking photos for like 10 minutes. And then he'd be like, all right, I'm gonna shake things up. This is a little bit boring now. But no, he's normally very good. It was just this one time where, I think, to be fair, in all fairness, he was clipped the day before and he was feeling fresh. So I probably should have, yeah, should have at least schooled him before taking him on a hack and doing a photo shoot. But when it's winter and you don't have much daylight, things can be a little bit to the time limit. I was gonna say to the limit, like, anyway. But yeah, I feel like probably one of my worst pulls on Casper was when I had to own him for a year. And this was kind of like in this time where my parents were kind of thinking about selling him, not because they wanted to be horrible parents or mean to me or anything like that. And I was very mature at that age and I understood why they were thinking that, but it was because he was unpredictable. And when you see your child fall off so many times and you're worried that they're going to get hurt, obviously you want to do everything that you can to protect your child and keep them safe. So this was also before we had an arena, so it was really difficult to exercise him. And I think a lot of the time he just needed to blow off some steam. And because in the winter in the UK here, it's pretty much, well, especially where we are, it's pretty much impossible to ride in the fields when it's wet. So all we could do was go for like a walk and a trot around this, around kind of like our village on the roads, and then have a lesson once a week at my instructor's who had a sand school. And then after school, it would be too dark to ride anyway. So no wonder Casper was feeling a little bit on the fresh side. So I think this was in the autumn. And I was riding after school and it was just before it started to get dark, which is never a good time to ride a horse. We always call it like the witching hour because it's just before the sun goes down. It's when they feel a little bit on more of a flighty side, because to be fair, horses are flight animals. You know, they want to protect themselves and keep themselves safe. And that's just like their natural instinct. So anyway, I was riding Casper and for whatever reason, he took off fly bucking, head to the ground, legs over his ears kind of thing, and I obviously fell off, landed on my bum, and I bruised my coccyx, so that wasn't very good fun. So that was quite painful, and also I was so upset afterwards because I don't know if I should say this or not. I feel like maybe not. Maybe you guys have some perfect angel horses that have never had like a little bit of a trickier time. But my dad obviously said this in a very jokey way, but he was like, this horse is going to the glue factory. Like, oh my goodness. Like, obviously he didn't mean that at all, but that's kind of what went down. And I was obviously very upset, but I got straight back on him. I cantered him around in circles, got the energy out of him, because I just knew that if I hadn't got back on him, then it might be game over for me and Casper. Obviously not game over, like he has gone to the glue factory. Game over as in like he would be sold and I wouldn't know what would happen to him. I was worried he'd again get passed round and round from home to home. So I kind of had to be brave, not for me, but for Casper. So I got back on him, carried on riding him, and then after that, if you know kind of me and Casper's story, I had so many lessons after that. I had my instructor ride him a little bit. And as he got older and more mature, and as we did more with him, and he wasn't, you know, a very fresh boy because he hadn't been exercised as much, he eventually over the years became into my sort of perfect show jumping pony and partner. So very, very lucky that I still have him today. And again, if you have a horse that you're struggling with, always reach out for help from a professional. I was so lucky to have my instructor to help us on our journey, and I'm so grateful to say that he is a very good boy most of the time, apart from when he kind of, it's almost like he gets triggered. I think that's the best way to describe it. One of my pony club instructors even said, I think your horse has some sort of like anxiety, like he is just very anxious at times and at very strange things. Like there's this one arena that we go to, and there's a horse walker in the corner. And I don't know if maybe he had some sort of bad experience with a horse walker, because it's not the first time he's spooked or had like a not good time with a horse walker. Again, at like a pony club instructor's place, there was a horse walker at one end, like in a corner of the arena. And he just would hate going in that corner. Like, every time I'd ride past, he would spook. Or every time I tried to get near him, he would do like a little 180 being like, see ya, like kind of thing. But he's a lot better now, and I feel like a lot of that is because we've been together for so long and he really does trust me, which again sounds very like cliche, like horse girl being like, but he trusts me. But you know what I mean. It really is true. But yeah, those are some of my more interesting falls that I've had on Mickey and Casper. I feel like also, like I was saying this before, but I feel like you don't really get taught how to fall off a horse. I mean, I don't actually know how many times I've fallen off. As I said before, 8-year-old me had fallen off 30 times, so goodness knows how many 22-year-old as me has fallen off. I would put money on it that it's over at least 100 times. So I guess you could say I'm a professional falling off rider. So here, like, I want to play like a little bit of like devil's advocate with you with this, because this is like a really interesting conversation that I've heard like both sides of the debate on social media. So I'm going to kind of present you both sides. So something that I was never taught, which I've only learned from social media, from seeing obviously videos of people falling off, because for some reason the content algorithm likes to push those, and I hate watching videos of people falling off. I don't know if it's because I've just fallen off so many times. Some people find it funny watching people fall off, and if it's like a, oh, my friend landed on their feet kind of thing, like, I understand. But when it's, I don't know, I'm just one of those people where if I watch something and somebody gets hurt, like, I just don't find it funny. Like, if someone falls down the stairs and they hurt themselves, I wouldn't find that funny. When I know, like, one of my friends, like, if anybody, like, falls over or anything like that, she is cry laughing, like even if it's one of those situations where you really cannot laugh, like it's that bad, and she finds it even funnier. But anyway, I like, from social media, something that a lot of people say is, when you fall off, let go of the reins. Now, I'm going to say all the positives and all the negatives to this, because I feel like there are a lot of positives in the sense, if you let go, you're not going to get dragged. Also, another really thing that, again, I didn't really realise was such like a safety concern was the footwear that you use for riding, and also the stirrups that you use for riding. When you're riding, like when I think you might be able to see some photos, I can't remember my riding story, but when I first started loaning my lone ponies, I didn't have my own pair of riding boots, because normally when I had lessons at the riding school, I would literally just borrow the like riding school's like boots that you could kind of like rent with your lesson. So anyway, I would just ride my lone pony Bradley in a pair of wellies, which is absolutely awful. I did not realize how dangerous that was, because a lot of wellies don't have like a heel, so your foot can, number one, slip through the stirrup, and number two, it doesn't have like a flat kind of surface, so your foot can also like slip out if you were to be in an accident. Also, like, stirrups are so important in the sense, like, I'd really recommend having one where the side pops out. I used to have a pair where I think it was at like a you can get ones with like a curved edge, so there's more of like a place where you can pop your leg can kind of slide out. But I really like the ones where they actually pop out, because I've heard so many horror stories of people being dragged. So yeah, that's another important thing. You want to let go of the reins so you don't get dragged, because if you're like holding on being dragged, you don't want to get a hoof to the face. That would not be great. But I don't know what it is, but my natural reaction ever since I ever first started falling off was to hold on to the reins. Now, it's not a balance thing, because I don't want to toot my own horn here, but a lot of, well, I'm going to touch some wood here. I'm not very superstitious, but I'm going to, just in case. A lot of the time when I do fall off, actually, I have fallen off in some weird ways, actually, but hopefully most of the time when I fall off, I do land on my feet, or at least like my feet/bum. Like, I'm like a cat. I'm landing the right way up, because you really don't want to land on your head, even though I have done that, which I'll be getting into a little bit later. But yeah, I feel like when I've always kind of held on to the reins, but that's because I've a lot of the time when I was riding in a field, and I think my natural instinct was like to hold on to my horse so they don't run away, because that's kind of like, again, if we're playing devil's advocate, like the flip side, if you do hold on to your horse's reins, you don't have to worry about them running off. Like if I'm hacking, I will probably hold on to my horse's reins because I would rather them feel, this sounds really awful to say because it's you. Obviously you don't want anything terrible to have, or like your horse to feel uncomfortable, but it's kind of like you almost have to choose, would you rather your horse feels a little bit uncomfortable in the mouth because you're holding on to the reins a little bit tighter, or would you rather them gallop away, maybe trip up on their own reins and injure themselves, or if you're on a hack, gallop away, you don't know where they are, they could get into an accident, like a car could hit them. There's so many different things you've got to think about. So again, like I feel like if you're in an arena, then it's probably best to just let go of the reins. You're not going to pull your horse in the mouth or anything like that. But I don't know, if you're hacking, what would you do? Let me know. Maybe pop me like a DM, or if you're watching on YouTube or whatever, leave me a comment, because I feel like this is a really interesting debate and a really interesting thing that not many people like talk about, especially like, I don't know, like have you ever been taught how to fall off? Because I feel like this is, definitely some people must be, because I've seen so many videos of people falling off and everyone in the comments is like, oh my goodness, let go of the reins, let go of the reins, please just let go of the reins. And again, I just never was taught that. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I think most of the time my instructors were probably so much like, oh my gosh, is this child that is in my care okay? Rather than let go of the reins. So anyway, that's that. So as I said before, it's really important for safety reasons to wear a good pair of riding boots and have some good safety stirrups. But also something else that I, like obviously, you know, you think, okay, I'm going to ride a horse, got to wear a helmet, like that is very important. And every time I've ridden a horse, I've worn a helmet kind of thing, like since I was riding at the riding school. I feel like in the UK, like our culture is very like, wear a helmet to be safe. When I know in maybe like other disciplines in other countries, it's not so much of a big thing. Like I think in Germany, there are a lot of like Olympic German dressage riders that still wear top hats. Or obviously in the US, there's a big culture in the Western community to wear like a cowboy hat rather than a helmet. So I don't know if it's maybe more like just being in the UK, we've just have more of like a helmet culture, I guess. But obviously, I knew it was important to wear a helmet, but something that I didn't realise was how important it was to have like a safe helmet, and that there actually is a difference between all the helmets. So one of the things that I don't think I've ever really talked about before, but before I was sponsored by Charles Owen, I did actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but I got offers from multiple different helmet brands for sponsorship. And this was when I was like, obviously, you know, when it comes to clothing, it's personal preference. Like, obviously, I wear the clothes that I really enjoy wearing and that kind of thing. But I was actually really thought to myself, this is like an actual safety brand. There are people that watch my videos who look up to me and will probably want to wear what I want to wear. So I actually did like a lot of research myself in like online and things onto all the different helmet safety standards. And that's when I kind of realized Charles Owen was definitely the best fit for me to work with as like a brand. And also I didn't really realize that there was, you know, a difference within all the different safety standards. So anyway, that's why one of the reasons why I just decided, you know what, Charles Owen is going to be a really good fit to work with. But also since working with Charles Owen and doing my research, I didn't really realize how important it is to, number one, like look after your helmet. So for example, keeping it in like a area where not loads of UV rays are gonna hit it, in a place where maybe it's not like really, really cold or really, really hot. Like that's another thing that was really interesting when I went up to the factory. They do so much research into their helmets. They even have a freezer and an oven that they put their helmets in, and also other brands' helmets, to compare them and look at stuff. But anyway, it was really cool to see, like, because obviously if you live in like a really hot country where it's boiling, seeing how, you know, the helmet kind of changes with that, or hopefully stays the same. Or if you live in a really cold country as well, like if you're in Canada and you keep your helmet in like a tack locker that's not heated and it's kind of like minus 20 outside or something ridiculous. I don't know what you got. I don't know how you guys do that. But anyway, I found that really, really interesting. And also, like, just so number one, like looking after your helmet, keeping it in a good safe place. Number two, how important it is to have a tight chin strap. Obviously, like if you have a helmet that fits, it's really good and it should stay on your head, but for whatever reason, maybe when if you fall off, your horse could kick you in the head. If your chin strap isn't done up and your horse, that power from its hoof kicks your helmet, and your chin strap is really loose, when I actually look back on some of my old videos, I didn't realize how loose my chin strap had got, like, because I think for some reason that helmet, it just loosened over time and I just had no idea. But yeah, it's good to have a tight chin strap because you do not want that helmet sliding off or sliding around for whatever reason. Another really important thing is also having, as I kind of mentioned before, but is having a helmet that fits properly. I cringe whenever I see people that have a helmet on, but because a helmet is supposed to kind of sit above the eyebrows. I feel like this is more with young children who are wearing helmets. If I can see like a big exposed forehead, oh my goodness, it makes me almost feel ill, because I can just imagine, like, if they fell off and they got kicked in the head, they could literally get kicked in their forehead. Like, it just, like, it doesn't look good. Or if someone has like a really loose helmet, oh my goodness, no, it just makes me feel really, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. That's the best way I can describe it. One of the other things that I kind of like, you kind of hear about, but I didn't actually realize how important this was, and that is replacing your helmet every sort of like 3 to 5 years, like maximum. Like if you go over 5 years, like that is not good, girl. You need to get a new helmet, because obviously you want it to be able to protect you and protect your head. It's very important. Like that is your brain. But also replacing your helmet if you ever have like a accident where you hit your head or the helmet kind of comes into impact. And I feel like I'm going to talk about this in the next episode, because I feel like I've been talking a lot for episode one, but I actually had a really bad fall on Joey, and I didn't realise really how bad it was until Charles Owen analysed my helmet. So yeah, please replace your helmets if you have had any sort of accident where they've been hit. It is really, really important. You know, that helmet saved you in that fall. Once it's been, you know, it's kind of like the crumple zone of a car. Even if it looks all right on the outside, if you still have hit your head, you don't know if it's going to be able to kind of save you as well as it did the first time. So yeah, anyway, that is my sort of message for today in today's episode. I hope you enjoy today, and look forward to part two, where I'm going to be talking a little bit more about my worst ever fall on Joey, my confidence knock, how I'm kind of doing now with my confidence, because I feel like I had a show jumping lesson the other day and it kind of, I wasn't feeling my best. I wasn't, so I'm going to talk about that a little in a sec. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I'll see you in part two. Bye!